This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the ABC's Nature Program, Off Track, and I'm Dr. Anne Jones. One of the things I've seen a lot of over the last 2 or 3 months of this fire season is stories of wildlife rescue. Have you noticed how many there are? Well, even at the best of times, the wildlife rehabilitation community is sort of running on goodwill alone. But these fires have really pushed that to the very edge. So we thought we'd touch base again with a woman who touched so many hearts when we first aired this program in 2018, Glenda Elliott, Yakandanda's Angel of the Bush. Here's Fiona Pepper with Glenda's original story and an update on what's happening now in the middle of this bushfire crisis.
That's a little swampy, and that's a redneck wallaby. And these are just eastern grey kangaroos. One, two, I think there's eight or nine. Hello, bubbies. You're waiting for your grass. Oh, hold on, I've just got to get a little wombat. Reggie, oh, you're ready. I'm a bit late. Come on, Scratchy. Come on, quick. No, we're not playing. No, we're going in. Come on. Shh, 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 shh. I'm just going to lock this gate because the wombats shake it and get it open, and we have big wild wombats where they shouldn't be.
You've got to see this place to believe it. Kangalula Wildlife Shelter sits in the middle of the Stanley Forest just outside Yakandanda, about 3.5 hours northeast of Melbourne. And for the past 25 years, orphaned and injured wombats, possums, wallabies, kangaroos, koalas and emus have all been cared for on this rambling property and then returned to the bush. So buckle up as we head to Kangalula to meet the unsurpassable Glenda Elliott, who's currently caring for over 100 animals. And unsurprisingly,
this is going to be terrible.
She's a reluctant hero.
My name is Glenda. What am I up to? Yeah, I'm feeding little kangaroos. Little Minnie, who likes to suck her tongue rather than drink her bottle.
How many hours do you think you've spent sitting in an armchair feeding little babies?
And fallen asleep. Oh, many.
It's early in the morning. The sun's just coming up and we're in the nursery, a room at the back of Glenda's house. The fire's burning, so it's a cosy place for the 20 or so baby kangaroos who are woken up every 4 hours for a drink of milk. But there's not just animals in the nursery. They're sprawled out all around the house.
The lounge room at the moment's full of fence hangers. They're kangaroos that get caught in fences. They're usually paralysed. They can take anywhere from 3 weeks to some of them are almost 12 months before they're actually hopping, and 99% of them usually go back into the forest. Then there's cars, hit by cars, chased by dogs, and hunters, people go out shooting just for the fun of it. So we'll have joeys from shot mums. We take them all in, yeah.
Although it's early, Kangalula is a hive of activity.
Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, have a cup of coffee and a couple of biscuits, feed the kangaroos in the next room because they won't give you any peace in the wombats. You don't get any peace if you don't do them. Then you feed these. If you're lucky and they're all good and they behave themselves, you've got about an hour. You can scrub the bathroom or you can scrub the kitchen floor. Then you're lucky to have breakfast. Then it's time to feed. The 8 o'clock feed, and after the 8 o'clock feed, you try to clean the yards, as many yards as you can. And then there's someone's usually preparing all the millions of bottles and getting all the bottles ready before the midday feed. Then you have your midday feed, which is all these little ones again. Then you have lunch, and then you prepare all the possum and glider foods. And then 2 to 4 is our best time of the day where we can clean up outside, get the wood in and try to do those sort of things, and put the grass out for in all the enclosures and the hay and Then you got your 4 o'clock feed again. Then after the 4 o'clock feed, prepare dinner, the leaves in for the koalas. And then we have a very quick tea. And then it's time to feed again and sleep. I hit the pillar and bang, and open my eyes, it's time to go up again.
And between all this, Glenda, despite a very pronounced hunch in her back, is out in the bush with a chainsaw chopping branches of gum leaves for the koalas and slashing grass for the kangaroos because, of course, all the animals have different diets. And it's all for her love of wildlife.
Animals, they just want to live. They appreciate life. They just want to live. They don't want to store. They don't have to have everything. They don't judge people. You know where you stand with animals more than you do with people. I think I just prefer animals than people. We do clean up all the time, but it just never looks like it. We have a shower about every 3 days. Because we don't have a lot of water, everybody showers every 3 days. And sometimes you get your clothes out and you get ready and you go in to have a shower. And a week later you think, no, I didn't have that shower. And then you find your clothes where you put them, that they're outside or somewhere that have been dragged around. So you've completely forgotten you're going to have the shower. But by gee, it feels good when you do have it.
There's a TV sitting in there. Does it ever get turned on?
It gets turned on. My husband loves his TV. He sits there and watches the TV and he'll feed a baby.
Because the lounge room's filled with animals too.
Everything's filled with animals. The bathroom is shoes off. Poo-free, animal-free, and it is nice to have somewhere that's poo-free.
Can you talk about the story of this house?
We've been here for 25 years. We had this shed, but it had no walls, no windows, and we still lived in it. So every time it rained, everything got wet, and if it was windy, all the leaves, you had to rake the leaves off your bed and off your bedroom floor. And then all the people from Yak got together, a lot of people from Yak got together and come up with all these old doors and windows and things that people didn't want, and they put all the windows in and the doors, and yeah, so now we have a house with doors and windows. It's made of everything. It's made out of everything recycled, and I call it the house that Yak built.
And for the community to come in and build you a house, they must love you.
Well, they all love animals. They all love the animals and they all care and, yeah. You got a twitch in your ear. Want to scratch?
Today on Off Track, I'm at the Kangalula Wildlife Shelter, where you'll find kangaroos in the lounge room and wallabies in the kitchen. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm Fiona Pepper, and I think I've just met the most dedicated woman alive.
I bring apples down every second day for everyone and the outside kids as well.
This is Pauline Jones. She arrived late last night to help out with the midnight and 4 a.m. feeds. She met Glenda 19 years ago and she's been volunteering here ever since.
We were out walking our dog and it went on from there. She was getting grass, pulling the grass with her bare hands. Nowadays we don't do that. So I was helping her do that, and within half an hour I had bleeding hands from the silica in the grass. But that's how she used to do it. Tough woman.
Do you think she's a one of a kind?
Oh, Glenda is quite remarkable, mentally and physically. Mentally, I don't know how she can just go 7 days a week, year in, year out. I'm not even going to say week or month in. Year in, year out, not a day off. And with lack of sleep and also, you know, to be out having to euthanize animals and all the tragedy that we get here with the animals that come in orphaned and injured, mentally I don't know how she can do it and still stay a wonderful person that she is.
But where does that drive come from?
Well, pure love of the animals. The thing about Glenda is She knows what they're thinking and she knows what they need. We'll be out here with all these kids coming in, you know, the wild ones coming in to eat the apples. And she said, oh, there's Sunny. Yeah, and I say, I helped you raise them, but I don't recognise them. You know, she just, it's been hundreds and hundreds. She still knows them from years ago.
Do you worry about her?
Oh, yeah. Why do you think I'm here at 2 a.m, feeding? I want her to get some sleep. I don't want her to get sick. What happens when Glenda's gone? Who's going to do it? Who could keep up her pace or her care or her have her knowledge? I do worry about that.
Back inside, dressings are being changed on the kangaroos that Glenda refers to as fence hangers. They've got big gashes on their legs that need attention.
Now, Miss Nelly, why are you out of bed?
But one kangaroo isn't doing so well.
This is Dopey. We've had him for about 3 days. He's always like this, but he always gets up and drinks and then he'll hop around a bit. And then, yeah, no, he's past it.
Do you get attached to them?
Oh, of course you do. You feel guilty that you can't help them. And it's very hard not knowing. But he's not suffering, so I'm... Yeah, of course you get attached to them, every single one of them.
My name's Chris Lehman. I've been actively volunteering here at Kangalula for about 5 years.
And what drew you to this place?
In 2003, I remember reading in the newspaper about this woman at Yakandanda who, when the big bushfire came through, she took all the animals into a cave and hid from the bushfire and survived it, which I thought was amazing. And just kind of mental note to self, I remembered, you know, wow. And then 10 years later, and via a circuitous route, I met Glenda in Yakandanda. And she said, would you like to come and see the animals? And you can, you know, I just, yeah, of course. And as soon as I saw the place, I thought, oh, man, I've got to help here. The first thing Glenda said was, I need green grass. Do you know where there's any green grass? So that became my challenge and then just got more and more involved.
How would you describe Glenda to someone?
The best description to try and capture it in words, having discussion with a friend one day, and he said, Glenda's an angel to the animals of the bush. And I said, she's an angel of the bush. Yeah. We have some house rules here. And number one rule is animals are number one. Number 10 is if you're not sure what to do, go back and have a look at number one.
Have you had your coffee?
It's coming. I've got servants.
You've got servants.
Do you want one?
No. So having a cup of coffee and a teddy bear biscuit.
We have this time every morning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I hear your nickname's the Angel of the Bush.
No, the crazy woman. The Angel of the Bush is the nicest part, but normally it's, yeah, the crazy lady, crazy woman.
Can you tell me about when the bushfire came through?
I was on my own. I'd just come out of hospital. I'd been in there for 3 weeks in intensive care with asthma. I started to get embers and I just knew the fire was coming. So I thought, if I put all these animals in the mine shaft, I'd rather do it for nothing than get trapped. So I spent all day carting water, started taking all the animals, water, food, everything, into the mine shaft, which wasn't easy to get into. It was a lot of work. I was doing as the doctor said, taking it easy, not doing this, not doing that. I was like a dying duck. But when I thought the fires were coming, it was amazing the strength you have.
That's slippery. And I come down here carrying water, food.
Animals,
everything, all on my own.
I didn't just pick any mine shaft. There's one just over there that would have been much easier. You could have driven a car into it. And it had all wooden beams, and I thought, it looks better, it's easier, but it hasn't got the chimney.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't, because all the beams have fallen down and burnt. And yeah. The chimney's the thing, because a lot of miners went into mine shafts in fires in the old days.
Yeah. and it sucks the air out and they suffocate. Yeah. So that's why I thought, well, at least there's air coming through. So at least it's got a chimney.
No chimney, it sucks the air out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's
so
why.
How long did you spend in the mine shaft with the animals?
All night. All night. Yeah, in carting stuff up and down here. I tied a rope to the tree and tried to do it that way to be quicker, but it just burnt my hands. It works in the movies, it doesn't work in real life.
You said that you've always had a connection with animals since you were a kid.
Mm.
Do you remember the first animal you rescued?
A little goat. A little goat. It was a little kid, and I found a home for it. I found someone that would take it, and little puppies. Little puppies. But my first animal ever that we rescued was a little sparrow.
Why did you connect more with animals than with people?
Look, I don't know. Some people do. Some people do connect. I didn't have a fantastic childhood. I had a horrible childhood, and I think it's the animals that helped. And I think with animals, I know what it's like to be cold and hurt and hungry and nobody to care, nobody to help you. I know what that's like, and I don't want animals to feel that way. And I don't like humans to feel that way either, but especially animals. I know what it's like. I've been there. I can't stand. I hate cold or hungry animals anywhere.
And so were you cold and hungry?
I was cold and hungry and, yeah, very neglected and, yeah. So it's the animals. I think it's the animals that helped me through my childhood. And, yeah, even the chooks.
So would you run away from home?
Yeah, I ran away from home, yeah, quite a bit. Left very young. And I'd spend time in the forests and just watch the animals. And I used to think you'd go into the forest, you'd be there for a little while, and, of course, all the animals would be frightened of you, but then they get used to you. And then you'd just watch them playing, just going about their animal lives. And I used to think, why can't humans be like that? Why do they have to have a car? Why do they have to have a TV? Why can't they just be happy with food and what they have? And yeah.
And how old would you have been?
Mm-hmm. Probably 8, 9. Yeah.
Everyone that I've spoken to says you have a special relationship with the animals. You know what they need. You know what they're thinking. Where did that come from?
Just being with them as a child, I think, just observing animals. So when you live with the animals, to them you're a part of their mob sort of thing, and they know. And if we've had animals that we haven't raised that have come here and been sick, and we had Cooper, a big male kangaroo that lives around here. We had him bring this really, really sick kangaroo and just dumped her at the gate and then just went about his... People don't believe those sort of things, but it happens. They know it's a safe place. They know they'll get help. They know they'll get food or whatever it is they need. And that's what we're here for.
Do you feel worn out?
Oh, yeah, sometimes I feel worn out, tired. I'm all twisted and broken. But as long as I can go, I'll go. The only time I think I'm really worn out is if I can't do something, and there's not much I can't do. I'm very determined I'll do it. So, yeah, I'll go till I drop. I'm tired, worn out, but you do get tired, worn out. The thing that makes me more depressed, tired and worn out than anything is the state of the environment, the state of the habitat for all of our wildlife. That physical work I can still do, I can still handle it, but when you go and get the gum leaves or when you go and get the grass and then you see different grasses that you only the grasses you see in old Western movies where it's just desert, and then you've got these. That's the environment's what's wearing me out. It's in a real mess. Look at that beautiful little face. How could you not want to help it? They're such amazing creatures, the kangaroos.
Glenda Elliott runs Kangalula Wildlife Shelter in Yakandanda. Kangalula is a registered not-for-profit charity, so if you'd like to donate, you can find a link on the Off Track website. Okay. It's now 2020, and the past 3 months has seen bushfires tearing through the Victorian Highlands just near Glenda's place.
Hello, Kangalula.
Hello, this is Fiona from the ABC. I was wondering if Glenda was there.
Yep, she's here.
Great, thanks. There you go. So I wanted to see how she was getting on.
Oh, it's been like a nightmare. It still is, but it's not as bad. It's been very hot and very dry. We had fires close by, but not under control. Sort of under control, but not under control. Doesn't make sense, does it? No, it's been actually very, very hot. Very dry. The fires were, if the wind turned, they could be very, very dangerous. So we've been on high alert. Sorry, I'm a bit asthmy from all the smoke. So that's why I sound like I'm running.
Have you been inundated with more animals than you usually would have during this year?
Yeah, we are. And koalas and they're just so, they're confused. We had one koala that Chris rescued. She was just banging her head against everything. You know, like if you're frustrated, you just bang your head. You don't know what's going on. So it's really horrible.
So when I met up with you in 2018, you were looking after about 100 animals. How many do you think you've got at the moment?
Probably double that, if not more. It's absolutely crazy, the amount of animals that we've got. And we can't release animals at the moment because you're just releasing them back into the same situation.
When I spoke to you in 2018, you said it's the climate that's wearing you out.
It is. It's like normally you like to go and you sit outside, you have a cup of coffee, and you just watch the wild animals doing their normal thing way down through the bush or wherever, or even when you drive. But they don't do that now. The animals are not happy. They're fighting for food and everything's hanging around coming in, and we've got wombats coming in, and we've got everything coming in because they're just so hungry.
Mm.
So there's no pleasure in the bush. And you look up at the trees and you can see there's no canopy. There should be leaves up there. It should be different. So for me, I've lost the pleasure that I used to have in the forest because all I can see is bad. And people say, oh, why don't you sit outside like you used to? I can only see the changes, you know, the not-so-good changes.
But I'm sure you're going to keep looking after those animals.
Of course I am. I'll still try. Maybe Mother Nature will be nice and turn around and say, oh, these stupid humans, they've made a big mistake. I'll forgive them if they, you know, get their heads together and do something about it. I might be forgiving and I might give them another chance. There's always that to think of.
Kangalula is a registered not-for-profit charity, and you can find a link to their site on the Off Track website. Fiona Pepper was the producer and reporter for today's Off Track, an update on Yakandanda's wildlife angel, Glenda Elliott. My name's Anne Jones, and this is Off Track. And meet me here at the same time next time, because that's when I'll take you somewhere else.
All these little kangaroos. I know
Brenda,
all the...
Robbie, yeah.
Yeah, Brenda, Debbie, Robbie, Debbie, Daniel, Lacey, Sophie's in here.
Robbie,
no, Sophie's there. Yeah, and Telly, Milo. Yeah, Milo and Coco. Oh, Snickers, yeah, Snickers, Lily, Juju, Abby, oh, Psycho, yeah, Psycho, and Dopey, and Miss Nelly, Tupac, Hannah, Bella, Mount Big Ben,
Pete Million.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.